We will be ending our today segment with lightning talks. So I would love to ask speakers who are having your lightning talks to come at the front row. So we have Lilian from Ecomappers Rwanda. We have Benedicta from HOT Community Working Group. We have Youth Mappers Sri Lanka and Letwin from OSM Ladies in MAPS Zimbabwe. We have Maya Lovo from Latin America, and we have Imani from Youth Mappers in Tanzania. So I'd ask you guys come in front. So we'll just have 5 minutes of presentation, each one of you. Then at the end, we'll be having Q&As. Yeah, so let's start with Lilian from Ecomappers. Please give a hand of applause to Lilian. Yeah, Lilian, you're welcome. Thank
you. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Lilian Ishimirge from Rwanda. I'm here as Ecomappers of OpenStreetMap Rwanda. I'm here to share with you what we have did in June of 9 years from where we have started Ecomap activities and growth in Rwanda. Here as Ecomappers, it is a non-profit organization that aims to address the challenges of the disasters, biodiversity loss, pollution, and the climate change through the open mapping, innovation solution, and advocacy. We do create the environmental sustainability in leveraging the power of mapping technology and engaging diverse network of volunteers and partners. This concept not provides an overview of OpenStreetMap Rwanda initiative achievement and future plan. And also we participated in Map Award. I know most of you know this campaign that have been done last year in 2023. We were able to participate in it. We have mapped the amenities where the girls can have the services that can help them easily. So we have also mapped for disaster risk resilience in Kimsagara sector. It is a sector located in Kigali in Nyarugenge district. We also conducted the Rwanda breeding assessment affected by landslide from the disaster response in Western province. This is the problem we had last year, and we are taking this opportunity to thank you, anyone of the OSM members worldwide that helped us to map for those breeding that have been affected by landslide last year. We also participated, participation in what we call Umuganda Project. It's Umuganda Project is a project we have in Rwanda. We do it on the last Saturday of the month of cleaning a country everywhere, planting trees. So our Ecomappers as OSM of Rwanda, we also work with the government in this activity. And in that Umuganda, we take opportunity of training youth for mapping and to participate in digitizing our loads and breeding to the OpenStreetMap map. We also created update map for the district of Rwanda. Now we have updated the map of three districts, one from the west, and one sector from Kigali, that's Kimsagala. We are also working with the Ngololero district, the project that have been presented yesterday. We are working with them to digitalize the map that they are using these days. This is the photo we took when we were giving the sector, Kimsagara sector, the map we have created for them. That's showing the high risk zone for the disaster preparedness and the mitigation. We trained more than 200 volunteers-based geographical information system mapping tools use map effectively. This was in the western province of our country. Here it's statistics of the project we had of engaging women in mapping for sustainable urban wetland in Kigali, Rwanda, to the wetland called Nyandungu. It is now being used as an eco park. This also the statistics for the mapping for sustainable urban wetland in Kigali City, more on achievement project for the disaster reduction campaign. Here also it's a mapathon we had on Umuganda project. We had also trained 145 volunteers, basically geographical information system, mapping tools, use map effectively for disaster risk and the reduction of awareness in Rwanda. Here it's the technical support. We have the trainer who work with us every day to train those volunteers to use these tools, ArcGIS, QGIS, GSM, FMTM, ODK, and many other tools we use in mapping. These are the supporters that work with us every day, and we thank them. We can't have enough word to use to thank them because they are helping us every day, give us some ideas, give us the trainings. We appreciate them. We also, this is end of our presentation, but also I cannot go without telling you that we are having, we are preparing to have the state of the map locally in Rwanda. So I invite you, you can join us there. You may visit us, you may help us in giving us an advice. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lillian. Yeah, you can get seated. Yeah. Then the next lightning talk is from Benedicta from HOT Community Working Group. Please, let's welcome Benedicta to the stage.
Yeah, hello, everyone. Good evening. Yeah, please, unfortunately, I don't have a slide, so sorry. I'll be doing an oral presentation. So I'm Benedicta Ohene, and part of the HOT Community Mentorship. Yeah. So we are here to just give you a brief overview of how the HOT Mentorship is going. I hope some of you already know about it, and some of us here have participated and are still participating in it as mentees and as mentors, and thank you. So to start with, we started this mentorship in 2022, which was an initiative by Angela Tevi, who is Ghanaian. And when it was accepted by the HOT team, we started with a pilot. And the pilot, we had a group, like a peer-to-peer mentorship, which was mentors, learning from mentors. And it was successful. Yeah, we had them giving us how it went. Then we proceeded to the cohort one, which also was led by Angela. Yeah, we successfully implemented the cohort one, of which at the end of every mentorship, we believe that the mentor has had an impact on the mentee. So hence, the mentor should help the mentee leave a legacy project, which others can look on it to also replicate whatever they've done and also learn from it. So some of the legacy projects that was left behind by the cohort one, and of which some of which are very, very, like I'm so proud of, where out of it was born an OSM community in Timor-Leste, and we also had two advocacy groups, one from Nigeria and one from Cameroon. And please, if you want to access these legacy projects, you can check on the HOT Community Working Group Mentorship Wiki page, and you can have access to all these legacy projects. Currently, we are in the core two of the mentorship, and we are almost nearing the end. We have our mentors helping their mentees coming up with their legacy project. And so far, some of the legacy projects we've seen so far that the mentors are helping the mentees to do are really great. And yeah, I'm sure when it finally comes out, you would have access to them, and also can attest the fact that mentorship is very important and very crucial in the upbringing of everyone. And so far, I think mentorship doesn't only mean an elder mentoring a younger one, but I think younger ones can also mentor elders, and which is like the two side of mentorship. And it's really great to see some of the stories and some of the recommendations these mentors and mentees are giving us. Yeah. Also, since the start of the mentorship, we can proudly say that we've accommodated or like have gone through so many applications, and we've come up with about 300 mentees and mentors being trained. And we can say that as every organization or every committee has challenge, we can't say we've never had challenge. Yeah, we do have our challenges too, even though we see that everything is going on, like, we do have our challenge. And I think one of the main challenges we can say we've had is communication. Why do we say communication? Because, you know, it's not based in one time region. We have it's across the world, and we have so many applications coming from the Western, Eastern, Central, Asian, Latin American. So sometimes pairing mentees to mentors becomes a great challenge. But then we successfully do that. But in the process, sometimes, yeah, you get these kind of, because of time difference, you don't really get to, mentor will be available, mentee will not be available. But yet, we are still sorting that out. Even though it was our challenge, one of the ways our main communication channel we were using was Slack. So what we implemented was, even though Slack will still be our main communication channel, mentors and mentees are free to use any communication channel that they are able to use so that they can easily communicate with each other for their for the success of their mentorship, so that each of them will be at ease. So currently, that's it. But even as it is, as we are going on, you know, challenges happen. Some mentees or mentees do have some challenges back at home, which they may end up dropping out of the mentorship. And if it's a mentee, then we have the challenge of finding a mentor for that mentee. And if it's a mentor, we'd have that challenge of finding a mentee for that mentor. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but in as much as we have these challenges, yeah, it's going well. We the mentorship and the success stories we have, and how much of impact we've had in others. It's really great. And sometimes you might see, say, we are so young, but yeah, we become proud of ourselves that with the help of the HOT community, we've been able to do, certain. And going forward, yes, it's HOT community, but then we look to partner with other organizations. So we want to reach a wider audience. So we know that it's good that when you learn, you have to impact, like knowledge sharing, community of practice. We'd want to reach a wider audience. So if you are here and you have any organization, kindly reach out to us through HOT, and yeah, we'll be able to partner with you and able to reach other people across the world. I mean, a wider range. And you might be wondering, who are the people behind this? Yeah, it's not only me and you. As I earlier stated, it was started by Angela Tavy, and unfortunately she had other engagements, so she had to leave. So it's been led by Yves and I co-lead, and Annalie was part. Yeah, Annalie, thank you. Has been very, very instrumental in all of it, and yeah, she still does. We have Geoffrey, we have Moluba, who is here, but having a section in the other room. We have Chisom Ije, he's from Nigeria, and Chisom Okucheku, yeah.
Sanjita from Nepal,
and Gorak Natpandey, also from Nepal. Yes, and Andres from Brazil. So it's like our team is
no.
our team cut across. Yeah, our team cut across. We don't have a base. We try to make it such that we have representation in the regions, and for us to have some language differences. Yeah. So currently that is it for us. Yeah. Thank you. And please, if you have any questions, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. One of you can sit, and one just for the questions. Thank you so much, guys. We'll go to the next presenter, who is, So we have from Sri Lanka, Youth Mappers, Activities and Growth. Please, let's welcome to the stage, Hajvin Makofi. Let's clap for her, yeah.
A beautiful good evening, all the ladies and gentlemen. Today I'm here to share our activities in the Sri Lanka. This is not only the Youth Mappers activities and growth in Sri Lanka. This is the Open Street Map activities and growth in the Sri Lanka. We started our journey in 2021. A first Youth Mapper chapter that created in the Eastern University of Sri Lanka by the Mr. Sudhakaran sir, our lecturer from the Geography Department. After that, one by one, the 2023, there are three Youth Mapper chapters created in the Sri Lanka. And after that, 2023, I took a position as a regional ambassador at the Youth Mappers for the Asia Pacific region. So I did a survey from the Asian Youth Mapper chapters. I got the results like what they need, what the Youth Mapper chapters is they are active or inactive. Like I did many questions with the survey. So through that survey, I decided my goals through this regional ambassador position, what I should change in the Sri Lanka. So I decided assistant with the create the Youth Mapper OSM teams and also the OSM wiki to our Youth Mapper chapters. And second thing, reactivate the Youth Mapper chapters, because the Youth Mappers and the Open Street Map, these are new topic to our students. So they need the awareness about the Open Street Map. What is Open Street Map? What are the benefits? What are the opportunities through that? So I started my duty. Before I did 10 plus awareness meetings, programs to the students to create awareness about the OpenStreetMap and the Youth Mappers. And this is not an easy task to reactivate and push up the students to do the more activities, leadership activities in their university period. And orient the Youth Mapper chapters for the mappers' objectives and aims, and encourage the new mappers to become mappers of the chapter. And through that, I found out the many active students through the all over the Youth Mapper chapters in Sri Lanka. Especially, there are more women active leaders I could found through the Youth Mappers, and organize the programs for the leadership development and increase the women participation. You can see here, I did a survey through Youth Mapper chapters in Asia region, and you can see here how the women's participation in the Sri Lankan Youth Mapper chapters, like Youth Mappers chapter of Eastern University of Sri Lanka and Sri Jayawardenepura University of Sri Lanka, and Geo Mappers, and also the Southeastern University of Sri Lanka. We have just only 4 Youth Mapper chapters, but almost there are 600 plus women women OSM volunteers, women leaders are there. And within these 3 years, 2021 to 2024, we got a chance to collaborate with the so many international communications, especially the UN mappers and the Open Mapping of Asia. And we got our first OSM training, OSM and humanitarian training from the UN mappers. And also throughout that, we did many mappathons and we trained many women and men leaders throughout that. And this is our workshop and trainings that I did with the 2023 to 2024 throughout the 4 youth mapper chapters in Sri Lanka. And I added some few photos only. We are doing more and activities. And this is the special one that I did recently. I organized a youth mapper summit in Sri Lanka. This is the first event, new topic to our students. This is 3 months journey. I planned so many internal and external issues, and after many struggles, I got some special and experts from the international OSM communities as keynote speakers for our Youth Mapper Summit. And I also found some 12 student speakers. They did very impressive and creative presentation project. They did a project proposals and presentation. They have a very creative ideas, innovative ideas throughout this GIS field. And this is our summit. And we are writing a magazine right now to identify and to showcase our students' achievements and activities. Projects, what we are doing in Sri Lanka now. You can see that in soon as possible in a famous website. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. This is not the end. We will continue our Youth Mappers chapters and open street map activities. And you can see more and more active leaders coming from Sri Lanka. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a seat. Thank you so much from Sri Lanka. The next one is Letwin Pondo, who will be giving a lightning talk on OSM ladies in MAPS Zimbabwe. Letwin, take the stage.
Okay, I don't know what he's talking about. But I'm talking about Ladies in MAPS Zimbabwe. It's not really OSM, Ladies in MAPS Zimbabwe. So, hello everyone. I answer to the name Letwin Pondo. I am based in Zimbabwe. I am the founder of Ladies in MAPS Zimbabwe, and I support OSM Zimbabwe and many other communities across Eastern and Southern Africa, even beyond. So, Ladies in MAPS Zimbabwe was born in 2022. We realized that in all these activities, even when you do statistics of conferences, when we do statistics of participants in OSM activities, there is usually that percentage that is just not really pleasing of my gender. So OSM Zimbabwe was like, not really active at the moment, and it became worse with the ladies. So we gathered with some 8 beautiful ladies that we wanted to change the status quo of open mapping in relation to women in Zimbabwe. So we started Ladies in MAPS in 2022. We were inspired by communities that I need to mention here because I have my super queens here. We were inspired by Crowd to Map for status because the community across the border, with activity that they do, and they are like responding to local local issues that relate to women within their communities. By the way, I've also realized that for you to get these women to participate in most of these events, give them a challenge that relates to them. If you just start talking later and all those kinds of complicated stuff, some of them just back up, like they step down. But if you give them something that communicates to them, that relates to them, that maybe affects them, they participate more. So CrowdToMap does that, and we're also inspired by Gioletta's PH. So as I mentioned, we have 8 ladies anchoring the community right now. And the issues that we are addressing in Zimbabwe are like this. As most of the African countries, we face issues of early child marriage, like child marriage to say. We have school dropouts, and this mainly affects the ladies because communities believe ladies are born for marriage. Like, they just raise them up, and when they are at my age, someone is really has like, I don't know how many kids, which is good, but sometimes it's forced onto them. It's not a decision they have to make. And when they are like maybe primary 7, they are forced to leave school. You are done. You are now a woman. You can find a man. You need to leave home. You need to go. So they are pushed into those marriages. So we wanted to address those challenges using open mapping. So what did we do? Our first step or our first initiative, is known by many of you, is called Open Hearts, Open Maps Initiative, where we map communities that are most rural. We use MapSwipe. So far, we have managed to map 4 good districts within Zimbabwe. And the data is available on OSM, is free. So we share this data with organizations around who help in like providing infrastructure, providing tools, providing education, because we're still kind of small. So we need support from the other bigger communities. So we do this and we provide the data for them to like use it for response to these issues. The other thing that we do is we provide trainings. We provide mentorships, we provide geospatial training, community engagement, and any open mapping support. And we are still growing, and we love collaborations with any organization that is open to supporting women. And we also want to appreciate each and everyone who has been like pushing us through this and supporting us in every way that you have been. I can't mention all of you because I can see all of you, but yeah, I thank you all. And in short, I would say this is all about ladies and maps. If you need to know more, if you want to collaborate, I'm your lady.
Thank you so much, Letwin. Our next presenter is from Mexico. She is a regional ambassador of Youth Mappers, and she will be sharing a presentation on Youth Mappers microgrant program towards chapter sustainability in Latin America. Let's give a hand of applause to Maya.
Hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Maya. I'm from El Salvador and Mexico. I've been a regional ambassador for Youth Mappers since 2021. It's been a while now. What is Youth Mappers? If some of you don't know about it, it's a global network. We work with university students. They can be from a bachelor's degree, they can be in their master's or in their PhD. And we basically promote using open data in your research throughout your careers. And I'm based in Latin America. What am I supposed to do as a regional ambassador with my peers? We help, we support from the methodological point of view those students who want to implement their projects, but also we support the collaborations among organizations in the region and cohesion, or that's the idea, and we'll see what has happened since we became regional ambassadors. So we did an initial evaluation of the network last year. We found out that there were around 41 chapters in the region, but most of them were disconnected. We have this issue, as you might have heard before from other Youth Mappers members, where it is difficult to continue having the same membership throughout the years. Some people graduate, or they become not interested, or they start working, and they cannot continue being a member of the chapter. And within this evaluation, we saw that there was a need for cohesion and communication among chapters in the region. Even members from the same country didn't know what other chapters were doing or what their topics were on. There's also the language barrier. Most of the technical side of OSM is in English, and they don't have as much access to this information, which limits, most of them don't even know how to validate their data because it's centralized in certain groups that actually have the knowledge on validation. So what did we do? We planned for a series of activities. We planned for a program, which is a microgrants program. And the idea was to support with a small resource the development of activities or a specific need of the chapter during a period of a 3 or 4 months. We'll see if they actually could do the activities in this estimated time period. And there was the need for technical or methodological support from the ambassadors. So we each decided or talked and decided on which chapters we could support depending on our background. And throughout the development of the activities, we had meetings and we evaluated the progress of the projects and activities. So what challenges did we find? First, since it was also the objective to promote formal project management within the region, this was a challenge. Some of them didn't know how to present a schedule or present a budget. And we had to do some follow-up sessions just to clarify the content of these documents. There's also the issue with the schedules. Because most of these activities are carried within the university grounds. When they are on vacation, they have the issue that it breaks with the activities that they have planned. And the data quality, since they don't have access to validation, they have to go through another process in which they discuss the quality and they avoid any duplications with the data that's already available in OSM. And the collaborations, we had some chapters who wanted to collaborate with the municipality or with local institutions. And since they are students, they have this issue that they are not taking as seriously as maybe other institutions might be perceived. But still, we managed to do 2 application processes in which around 67 women were involved and 39 men were also participating in these activities. Not all of them were only members. Some of them were members of the OSM community on a national level. Some of them were collaborators, other students that weren't part of the chapter. They used the tasking managers, they used Mapillary, they used Open Aerial Map, and many other tools. We're not doing a deep dive into the content of the projects because for that, we need to have all the students here. I cannot portray as well the development of the activities. And some of the topics range from the perception of safety or violence in the public transport in Ecuador, forest diversity in Medellin, Colombia, urban infrastructure in Mexico and in Brazil. And yes, we just wanted to give you like a very summarized version of what we've been doing. There's still the matter of geographical representation in the region. Most of the activities are carried out in Colombia or Brazil or Mexico or Ecuador. And there is not much participation of the Central American countries. So we're trying to give more attention to this area. And we hope to have more updates in the upcoming State of the Map Brazil if you are logging into or going to the conference. And here are some of the blocks we have on the topic. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maya. Yeah, so we have the final presentation. And actually, the stage looks beautiful, right? So I'm happy that the final presenter is a man or like a guy. So I would love to welcome Imani Selemani for the last and final lightning talk of the day, where he will be sharing on his journey in OSM. Yeah, so let's clap for Imani, guys. It's a lot of pleasure being here. Yeah, Imani, take the stage.
Good afternoon. No, good evening, everyone. Okay. Before you, I am Imani Royemam Sereman. I'm a chapter official from SM Course Youth Mappers chapter, a chapter which is based in Tanzania. I think it's the neighbor country from Kenya. So I am in front of you sharing my journey with the OpenStreetMap from being a beginner mapper, from where I started and up to where I am. And my journey started in 2022 on August 30. I was convinced because I didn't understand about the OpenStreetMap community. I didn't understand about the open data and its advantages. So the one who welcomed me here, Mr. Eric Tamba, is one among the people who inspired me to open the OSM account and to start mapping at our university. So since then, I have more than 100 days of active mapping, but also I have a lot of change sets, and I have mapped about more than 90 countries in the world. But also, the motivation for me to start mapping or to enter in the OpenStreetMap community was about addressing sustainable development goals through geospatial technologies. Because the friend of mine told me that by using geospatial technology and the open data, you can address almost every aspect of sustainable development goal agenda. So I was much interested about that, and it's where I was convinced and I started mapping. So there is a lot of success and achievements since then, because it's now 2 years since I started mapping. I can say that from there up to now, I can see I have learned a lot and I have managed to do some of the things. For example, I have participated in different mapping projects, and one among them is the program or the campaign that was concerning on mapping the unmapped areas in Tanzania, in our country. And that program was organized by the Geospatial Technology and Environment Tanzania, and I managed to emerge as a first or leading contributor. So that is, I count it as a success. But also, I have been this year during the State of the Map Africa in Cameroon. I also emerged as a first contributor in the mapathon, and I received the awards from Geoffrey Katerega and TomTom. I'm also thankful for that. But also, I have received the travel grant support from OT that has enabled me to be here in front of you today. So I can say that the big thing or the achievement that I am also inspired by is, firstly, I was motivated by others to join the community. But now, when you go back in my country, I am also motivating others to join the community and start mapping. Also, I want to acknowledge that in this journey I have met different mentors, different teachers, and I think you can see some of them here. And when you talk about Ezekiel Hediga Kiariro, is now the GIS manager in Geospatial Technology and Environment Tanzania. He is a leading, is inspiring me in mapping. But also there is Antilias Kawamara here, the director of Root GIS, as well as Eric Tamba. This is our regional ambassador, youth mapper regional ambassador in Tanzania. But also, as I have told you, that I am the chapter official of SM Course Youth Mappers chapter that is based in Tanzania. Also, this one, Eric Tamba, used to be the chapter official of that chapter. He was once a president of that chapter, and now he's the regional ambassador. So he's inspiring me. Who knows, maybe one day I will also be a regional ambassador. But also, there is Geoffrey Katerega, I used to see him or to meet him in the virtual sessions, in the mapathons, but I found his work interesting with OT, Humanitarian Open Street Map team in the ESA Hub. So I am really inspired by these people. These are to mention a few, but I am really inspired by a lot of mappers. And finally, I can say that in my journey as a youth mapper, as a young change maker, I've been getting a lot of support. And I want to use this chance also to acknowledge their support and to thank them from TomTom, but there is also OT, because OT, they are the one who have provided the travel grant for me from Tanzania to Nairobi, but also there is geospatial technology in geospatial technology and environment Tanzania is also one among the organizations that have been inspiring me and supporting me in some of my mapping initiatives. But also there is Sokoine University of Agriculture. This is a university where I have pursued my bachelor degree in environmental sciences and management, though I get a lot of interest in GIS and mapping. So I think my next journey with the master degree will be in that field. But also I can't forget to mention the Root GIS, because they have supported me and they are supporting a lot to push the Youth Mappers chapter even in Tanzania, because they provide a lot of trainings and to equip with the youth mappers, especially students, with the maybe if there is the skills, the knowledge, but also sometimes even the requirements, some such as the maybe the mobile applications that they are using. So it's also, I also acknowledge their support, but also there is Open Map Development Tanzania, as well as Open Mapping Hub. And you can also be surprised that I acknowledge the support of OpenStreetMap team, because after joining the community is when I realized the potential of this platform, because without OpenStreetMap, maybe all of us today, everyone could be somewhere else doing other stuff. But this is a platform where we get a chance, even we youth, to contribute, to map, even if it's a point of interest, the shape file, the roads, the lines. So it's a good platform, and I acknowledge their support. But also youth mappers, it's a OSM community where we, especially the young individuals at universities, we are getting a chance to learn the GIS issues, the open mapping, and we get a chance also to contribute. So myself as an individual, apart from the chapter activities, I have been involved or I have been creating or doing some of the initiatives, especially after joining the community, I realized that even if myself I am an advanced mapper, or even if I can be mapping from maybe 24/7, 24 hours a day, I can make a difference. But I think collaboration is a big deal. So I have been using a lot of my time to help others, to teach about the OSM, even with individuals. So even if I am traveling in the bus and I found someone, maybe we don't have something to talk, this one, the mapping issues become our topic, and I have helped a lot of individuals to open the OSM account and to start mapping. So currently, I have graduated from the Sokoine University of Agriculture, and I am looking for the possibilities and for the partnerships, the collaborations to continue mapping and to increase my potential, but also to continue helping the community to address the challenges via or using the geospatial technology and the open mapping tools. So again, I'm very excited and I am very thankful for everyone of you for your attention and for joining me. Thank you so much. I am open for the collaborations, but also for advice. As a young individual, I think I need I need to learn a lot from you guys so that I can keep going. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Unfortunately, you don't have somewhere to sit. Yeah, so you would stand. I think we'll just have a quick round of questions from the room. But before going with questions from the room, there's only one from the venueless, and it goes to Benedicta. So they're asking, like, what actually the HOT mentorship program is into? Like, what do they train? So that's the question. Yeah.
I'll take it then, probably maybe Yves would come and add. So the as I stated initially, we started with the courts. We started with four areas of focus, which was the open geospatial, data humanitarian, open community, and professional development. Thank you. Yeah, professional development. But as we were going on, we incorporated the professional development into the others. So now we have three areas of focus, which is the open geospatial, open community, and data humanitarian. So these are the three major areas we focus in. Since we are an open community, we always advocate for open, yes, so that's the main areas we focus in. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any question from the room to any of our panelists? Yeah, one here.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. This has been amazing. So my question, being from Latin America, is for Latin America. And excuse my ignorance on this, it may be a very easy answer, but what's preventing, I guess, the microgrants in other countries? Do the countries specifically need to have a need and then they apply?
Do you mean for other countries within Latin America? Okay, so the main reason is that they don't apply. They don't feel ready to apply. They apply with not so grounded proposals. So they maybe it's their first project and they want to do a massive collaboration and map an entire district or municipality in a big city. But the main reason is that they don't apply. For example, in Central America, as I was mentioning, there are chapters, there are members, but since it's their first experience, they don't feel like they could get the scholarship or the award. Yeah, but we hope it's replicated in the next ambassadorship.
And so may I, are they getting guidance then on how to properly apply so that they are not saying, I want to apply an entire municipality? I don't want to map an entire municipality. So are they getting guidance on best ways to receive funding or microgrant?
Yes, I forgot to mention that. We did have some remote workshops on how to do a proposal. We provided a template of general things that should be included in a proposal. And they also have our contacts. So anytime they want to ask a specific thing about their project, they just message us. It's very close. It's a very close relationship with the members. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, one more question. I'm told that we are all geared up for the social event. So one more question if there is.
Thank you. I will have to reintroduce myself. My name is Antidias Kawamara. I've been mentioned by the last presenter, so that is no longer a problem. So I have a question that goes to the lady from Rwanda, and I think the will be shared by the one from Zimbabwe. As we have seen that the methodology for your fundraising is based on the on the donor funds. So what are other approaches that do you have in your organizations that provide sustainable funding for your projects? I'm assuming that if these organizations do not give funds tomorrow, it means what is going to happen to your activities? So that is going to go to the lady from Rwanda and then goes to Zimbabwe. And one comment. Please sit down, please. Thank you. Yeah. this goes to Mr. Iman, who has presented a nice presentation. I'm not mentioning this because he mentioned me there. It is not like a payback, but I want all of us to learn from Emmanuel, the courage it took him to stand over there and give us his incredible journey. It takes a lot, and we should learn from that. I think it is you deserve another a round of applause. Thank you. So please, the ladies.
Okay, thank you for that question. We have the supporters, we have donors, we have we work with the government, and we have our local organization of found that can help us in our projects. That is why you have seen these are the summary of what we did in those 9 years. And also there is a structure. It's I can call it a template of how we work with those supporters, so we can know in this season of 3 months we'll be able to do this, and then so that we can't go beyond of the facilities we have. But also as a community, we have the way, we have the template we use, we have the ability of supporting our projects, but also we appreciate those who are helping us in every project for mentorship, for financial means, and for the other means. So doesn't mean that without them, there is many projects that can be. Like, it's not, I don't want to use the burden. A burden was something which is not good, but also we appreciate what they do and what they help us, but also we can manage how we can proceed with our project. So I thank you all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I think Benedicta would have to connect on the social event for that. Ladies in Zimbabwe, I think we don't have time. Sorry, we are short of time. Sorry? Yeah, I understand. Thank you, guys. Another round of applause to our panelists. I think we are now ready for the social event. So, I think we do a stand-up stretch, and we call it a day, right? Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with me.